Today on Vox Talks, how good-looking economists do better. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. In academia, it doesn't matter who you are, it's what you think that counts. Well, that's a nice idea, but in recent years, we've seen that in economics departments as well as in the labour market. Your race and your sex matter for success. Well, now there's a new working paper that finds that good-looking young economists get the better breaks too. Galena Hale of the University of California, Santa Cruz and the CEPR is one of the authors. Galena, welcome to Vox Talks.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Galena, what on earth inspired you to look into this?
So it's a little bit of a long story with one of my co-authors, Tali Regev, who's now in Israel. We have written another paper that shows that having women in economics departments as faculty helps more women to graduate from those departments. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to understand some of those different dynamics. We've collected all the data on the careers. And Yona Rubinstein, another co-author on this paper, suggested that maybe we also collect pictures of those individuals for who we have the data on their career paths and have those pictures rated by the looks. And originally, our thought was to see if looks matter differentially for men and women. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in the sample of the data that we have, we were not yet able to find robust evidence by gender. And so we're still looking into this. And since we found very robust patterns overall, we decided to put out a paper about that. But the reason this idea came along is that we know in other labor markets outside academia, looks matter. There's quite a bit of research on the mechanisms of that in sociology and psychology literature. In economics, we know that better looking individuals in variety of professions get better salary and get better career paths. So Dan Hammermisch has published extensively on that.
Yes, what is the explanation for how in the labor market in general, good-looking people do better?
So there are a number of explanations. There is an obvious one in the professions where consumers might demand a better look. So An example from Dan Hammermisch's paper is trial lawyers, right? So better looking lawyers, they tend to be more convincing, more charismatic. And so they're more likely to be hired by better firms and be offered better pay. In customer facing service profession, there might be direct impact for better looks. Mm-hmm. Apart from that kind of obvious explanation, in psychology and sociology literature, we've learned that individuals who grow up being considered better looking, grow up with more positive reinforcement. So they have easier time finding friends to play with. They have better study groups at schools and, you know, they're being more popular kids. And that helps them grow up more confident and more charismatic and more affirmative, which in a variety of professions literally helps with productivity. And academia is no exception. How well you present your research definitely has impact on how likely you get a job and how much people remember the research you presented. Another thing relevant for academia could be, we have not yet been able to test it, but theoretically it's possible that better looking individuals are more likely to have better quality co-authors and as a result have more productive professional relationships that allow them to do better research.
I see. Now, in this research, what outcomes in particular did you measure?
We've tried to go as far as we could given the data. So we had the ranking of the institution where individuals got their PhD degrees. Then we had the ranking of their first job out of a graduate school. Mm-hmm. And this ranking we only had for government institutions and academia because for private sector job, it's not obvious how you rank those organizations. And frequently, we don't actually know in which particular private job a graduate ended up. Mm-hmm. So in academia, as far as I know, at least in economics departments, 5, 6, or 7 years down the road, there is a tenure review. And so if you're still employed by the same institution 8 or 9 years after you first started that job, it means you passed the tenure review. Or if you're hired somewhere else, it's very likely that you're hired with a tenure, which is kind of a next step over. So what we've collected is the PhD institution first job type, whether it's government, academia, or private sector, first job ranking for academic institutions, and then the last observed job ranking, which in our sample is 2017. So it would be 11 to 15 years after an individual has received their PhD. So it would be a tenured position in academia. That way, one thing we can test for is a statistical discrimination. The idea there being that if there is some correlation between looks and productivity, but you don't observe productivity early on because the person is just starting their career, you might use looks as a proxy for that. But over time, you gather information on the productivity, and so the looks should matter less. But we do not find that. We find that the impact of looks is just as large on the ranking of the last observed job in our sample as on the first job. So we were able to test for the statistical discrimination. In addition, we collected information on productivity, the way it's measured in economics, based on how much do you publish and how much your papers get cited. And what we find is that looks have a positive impact on total number of citations, including when we control for total number of publications. So it's really how successful each individual paper or an average paper is. But looks don't matter for just a raw number of publications. So, you know, if you think of number of publications as effort and number of citations as success of that effort, looks matter for success, but not for effort.
I have so many questions to ask you about this.
Okay, go ahead.
The first one is, though, who decides how good looking the PhD candidates in your sample are, and how do they decide that?
So we've collected photographs from official websites, not the social media. So there are many cases professionally taken photographs in the official setting and the official attire. And then we had Amazon Mechanical Turks workers rate every photograph that were fed to them in randomized manner. And we were asking them to give a grade from 1 to 10 on how good looking the individual is. And we also asked them also 1 to 10 how intelligent looking the individual is, because we thought, well, maybe it doesn't matter in academia if you are attractive looking. Maybe it matters if you're smart looking.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, we did not find any robust effects of intelligent looking. It's actually attractiveness that matters. And also surprisingly, you'd expect maybe there would be negative correlation between those two measures. There wasn't. So those are pretty much uncorrelated. So there are people who are both attractive and smart looking, according to our raters. And there are some people who are one or the other.
So the good-looking people ended up, after a significant amount of time, in better jobs in academia than people who were considered not good-looking.
That's right. We find that at every step of the career, better looks lead to better outcomes. Good-looking individuals are more likely to be at higher-ranked PhD institutions to begin with. They're likely to get a better ranked first job. And then 11 to 15 years after, they're likely to be at a better ranked job still. And that is even if we control for the ranking of the PhD institution and the first job. So even controlling for how good's the school you graduated from, what was your first job, last job still has an impact of looks. And that's not something we expected to find.
You can't, though, from the sound of it, find out very much about those students who left academia and their success in the private labor market, whether or not they're getting good jobs outside academia.
I don't have a good measure of the ranking of the jobs in academia, people tend to post their CVs online, and that's how we gathered a lot of the information. And they have Google Scholar pages where we can get information on their publications and citations. Many people in the private sector are not so easy to find through official web search. You can probably find some of them on LinkedIn, but we decided to stay away from any form of social media because each individual can put any information they want there. It's easier to measure career paths in academia. And also there is a well-defined measure of productivity, which is not what you see in the private sector. Frequently in the private sector, if you are doing better, you also get a better bonus, you get a promotion. So these things are much more tightly intertwined and harder to disentangle in the private sector jobs. Academia makes it easy for us to just say, okay, we're only looking at productivity, we're controlling for the ranking of the job you're in, we still find that you're better cited if you're better looking.
This finding on productivity, you are able to rule out something unobserved called talent, for example, that is creating productivity, and that's why they're hired in the first place.
That's a good question. So we do not observe talent, and neither do hiring committees, right? Otherwise, our job would be very easy if everybody had like a video game character, a little number next to their head. So we don't observe that. And so I think in the hiring decisions, we're trying to infer from the individual's past productivity, things they've written before, comments from people who worked with them, from their recommendation letters, and from conversation with them, we're trying to infer how productive they're likely to be going forward. To the extent that looks might bias our judgment of the talent towards better looking individuals, whether or not the actual talent is correlated with looks. That's why the, you know, looks might be affecting our hiring decision. You know, it's hard to define what talent is for academia. What is that that you need to be good at? Obviously, some people are more productive, more successful. There are conversations on econ Twitter discussing how much luck matters, how much mentors matter. So there are a lot of factors that determine success. What I mentioned before in terms of the mechanism for better looking individuals growing up to be more confident, more charismatic, that is likely impacts the success of their papers. If you have equal quality papers written by two individuals and one is a really good presenter and gets invited to all the conferences, that paper is likely to be cited more than a very similar paper. The authors are not as effective at presenting and selling it. So there is the human interaction in academia that we don't always consciously understand that human interaction might be creating the effect of the way people look on their research outcomes and their career paths.
Galina, what's been the response from economics department? The paper's just out, but some people must have seen it. Has anyone called you up to say, you know, Galina, you're absolutely right, we do hire on looks?
So I didn't get those phone calls. I did get some individual emails from people saying like, oh yeah, that rings true. I'm not surprised. To the extent that I sit on the hiring meetings, I never heard anybody say, let's hire this person over this person because they're better looking.
That's a relief.
I don't think that's how conversation goes. But I think effective presentation is important. The way we hire people in academia and economics department and in many government jobs, research-related government jobs, is through job talk. The individual goes and presents their paper in an hour and a half seminar and fields questions. And so the better they are at this, the better they can sell their job market paper and convince us that they should be hired. So I think there's, if anything, implicit bias is there. And I think it's important to keep that in mind because you started by saying that economics is looking into racial minority, women representation. It's good to keep in mind that we might have those biases. There is research that shows that our impression of looks of people within our group or our assessment of a competence of people in our group, which could be our racial group, is frequently higher than our assessment of people outside of our group. And to the extent that a lot of people view the individuals from racial minorities as outside of our group, they might perceive them as less competent and less attractive. We are not really able to look at it specifically in our paper, but I think it's something to think about.
Is this something that we should be monitoring? Is it something that there should be policies in place to try and counteract? What should we be doing about this, Galina?
It's a good question. I've been thinking about it. You know, in the music industry, they found the appearance bias long time ago. And now if you audition for an orchestra, you would be frequently auditioning behind the closed curtain.
Yes.
You will only be heard and not seen. And there's studies that show that it reduced the biases dramatically. Mm-hmm. In the last year, we had this giant experiment imposed on us on the way we do business, imposed by the pandemic.
Yes.
And so you and I are not talking in person. We're talking on the phone, so you have no idea what I look like. And maybe it's a good thing. In the job market, the first round of interviews is usually 30 to 45 minute interviews. And this year, everybody did them on Zoom. But we always did it with a video. So maybe we should think about it and do it without video and see if that would create fewer biases. I think looks might not be something you want to observe before you make a decision on how competent an individual is, just to rule out the possibility of the looks bias.
Galina, this is really interesting research. Thank you very much for talking about it today.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
You will want to read the research. It's called Do Looks Matter for an Academic Career in Economics? The authors are Galina Hale, Tali Regev, and Yona Rubinstein, and it's out now as a discussion paper from the CEPR. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. We bring you the most innovative economic research every week, so subscribe to Vox Talks, you never miss an episode. And remember, there's 12 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.